Good morning. How is everyone? Those that are in the foyer, be making your way in. You can go ahead and stand. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will
rejoice
and be glad in it. What a gorgeous day we have for a cookout. Hope that you have planned on that. Otherwise, we're going to have a ton of chicken left over. We'll have to-go plates. But all of the fixings, the slide, they're out there right now grilling, getting it ready. Mouth beginning to salivate a little bit. You made a choice to come to worship, to be with God's people, to share, to give what you have. We want you to do that this morning and receive what God has for you. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house, Lord, and we can receive, but Lord, we can also give. Lord, we choose, Father, Lord, to worship you with our whole being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One of my dearest friends texted me this morning, and she said, everything you need can be found in his presence. I want you to meditate on that thought. Everything can be found in his presence. Maybe this morning you walked in to these doors with a hurt. Maybe you walked in with a disappointment. Or maybe you walked in with a joy. Maybe you walked in with an anticipation. Maybe you walked in expecting nothing. Maybe you walked in with a fear. Maybe you walked in with bravery and courage. Maybe you walked in whatever you walked in with, whatever that yearning is deep within that only you know, it can be found in his presence. Open yourself up to hear, to receive, to be vulnerable. It's okay to be real. You know, God can handle our vulnerability, that God can handle our realness. And as a matter of fact, the moment we get real and authentic with him and say, I'm laying this at the table, is the very moment that God jumps all over it, because he is a God who responds to our authenticity and to our humility, and he meets us there and he says, everything you need I have for you at this table. You lay your stuff down here and you pick up. Me. And so this song is an old song. And it says, I need you more. I need you more than yesterday. And we always need him in a different level, at a different season, in a different way. And his grace is so extravagant to give us more and more and more. I never wanna go strength comes from.
Thank you. Been before us, that your presence is inside of us, and that we cannot escape the truth that time is not a thing for you. You've been before. You take us to the places in our past and show us where you were when we might not have seen you, when we were going through those things. And then you walk us back to where we are. So you've been before. You take us back. You walk us where we are with the presence of you inside of us. And you are beside us. And you are for us. And I cannot say enough words. I can't find the right words. I'm just overwhelmed with your grace, and that we get to be your vessel in this world. We get to be the vessel full of your light to go help heal other people, to go help show these people the living hope that is inside of us. It's not something abstract that we have to work to attain, God, that your living hope is inside of us. It's Christ glory. Thank you for waking us up to this truth of who you are inside of us. And that no matter where we are on this path, we can choose that and then share it with other people. I think that's what amazing grace is for me, that you took me to my past, broke down all those walls, and walked me all the way through my past to my present, and now my future. My future is bright. And you are good. Do you know that? Do you know that you are good and that you were made perfect in his image and that we carry this through us every day? If you're feeling all of these pieces broken and scattered, then today where you're standing, ask God, where were you? Where were you when this happened to me? Where are you now? And take a deep breath and feel his love inside of you. He's just waiting for you to step in.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set.
this beautiful day you've created for us to be in each other's presence. I can feel your love every time I touch someone or give them a hug this morning. Let's sing this one more time through, full of joy and gratitude in your heart, that we get to be free, that we get to be this vessel full of love, full of the hope, the living hope of Christ inside of us. Father, thank you.
Just play a little bit, Kitty. I oftentimes, toward the end of the week, texts start happening, phone calls start happening that so-and-so can't be there, so-and-so can't be there. And so it kept dwindling down to where most of the band couldn't be here. And there's always a little panic and everything. And, of course, my response is, hey, you got Kitty playing. There's never any reason to panic. Never any reason to panic. If it's just Kitty playing, the dog can get up and howl, and we can enter into praise and worship. But instead, we got people that can sing. It's just good. Isn't it good? I'm telling you it's good. been an emotional week, been a good emotional week, but still an emotional week. And I thought I was going to share this morning on the Holy Spirit, and I may end on something about that, but early this morning, the Lord just woke me up, and I love it when he does it, and I hate it when he does it. I love it because I know it's going to be something good. I hate it that I don't know what it's going to be. And so this morning, I said, Lord, I know you know on Monday morning this. So I just got honest with God at 3 a.m. I just want to ask you why you don't tell me on Monday morning, knowing you're going to tell me on early Sunday morning. And all I heard him say, if I tell you on Monday morning, you'll mess it up by Sunday morning. So I took that as a, you know, we can mess stuff up. Don't you? I mean, know that. We can really mess things up. But when I started this series on the ancient paths, I really thought it was going to be something different, and it's no pun intended, but this ancient path has turned into another path I didn't know we was going to go on. And it's been an interesting journey. And I want to read a scripture that was the basis for our theme for the year, Kainos. And I love the Lord, because after I had that talk at 3 a.m, then I got up and I was in the shower, and while I was showering, God said, go back to this ancient path that you have. I want you to go back to your early notes, and I'm going to show you something in those notes you didn't see, and we're going to preach it differently than you did then. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But There are words that, well, let me just read this scripture, then we'll go from there. Jesus replied to a statement of Peter. Jesus had said, talking to his disciples, said, you know, if you really want to know me, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to give me everything you got. And so Peter, he replied to Jesus and he said, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? How many know that's a statement everybody wants to know? What am I getting for my commitment? What am I getting for the price, right? John Henry was bought a car a week or so ago, and we want to get what it's worth, right? We want to get the price of the car. You want to know. We're going to find out the car had been wrecked and several times, and going to have to be taken back to the dealership because it wasn't on Carfax. It wasn't what they thought it was going to be. The price they paid wasn't what they were expecting to get, right? We want to get what we pay for, right? Don't you? If you pay for something, don't you want to get what it's worth? If it's worth, don't you all want that? So Peter's saying, look, I left my boat. I left my livelihood. I left fishing, what I love. I left my family. I left my friends. And I'm following you for these 3.5 years. Don't know who you are. You say you're the Son of God. You say these things we really don't know. We know you came from Nazareth. We know that your earthly father, who we know was Joseph, was a carpenter. We know that you were a carpenter for all these years. And now, at 30 years of age, all of a sudden, you step onto the scene of this pathway to God, and you come and say, I'm the Son of God. That's quite a shock. You know, sometimes we just read the scriptures, and we don't get real with the real. This story was real. You know, you have to put yourself back there. What if I was back there? What if I was back there and this man is in human flesh, comes up and starts declaring, I'm the Son of God. Not just a Son of God, I'm the Son of God. There's a difference. The Son of God and a Son of God. We are a Son of God, not the Son of God. He was the Son of God who came to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. So Peter's up, you know, is at a place in his ministry where I want to know. I got to know what I'm going to get. It's okay to say, what am I getting out of this? There's a time to ask that question. Not always. There's an unhealthy time. What am I get for this? Well, maybe you just get to serve in it and get nothing but that. That's a good thing too, right? But God doesn't bring you into the kingdom not to give you something. He doesn't bring you into the kingdom to take stuff away from you. He brings you into his kingdom to add to your life, to give you more. More. Say more. I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. I want your life to be more fulfilling. If people could just grab that one truth, everybody would love God. Everybody would serve God. Everybody would follow God if they just believed that it's the best for me. You see, we grow up with this understanding of what's best for me is when our mom and dad, our parents say, this is best for you, when you don't believe it's best for you. Anybody ever been there? Ed said to let me alone. Buren, I know you don't understand this, but this is best for you. I didn't see it was best for me. And because I didn't see it was best for me, I didn't benefit from it. Because I didn't believe it was best for me. Even in the Old Testament, God said to Israel, he says, I've given you these ordinances and this way of life to make your life better. Not to take anything from you. I want your life to be better. All of us as earthly parents want our kids to have better, right? Well, Jesus said, if we being evil, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's true. If we being evil want what's better for our children, how much more do you think the Heavenly Father wants what's better for his children? And so Jesus comes along and says, I just don't have another way. I have a better way. That's it. That's it. Come on, That's hot off the press. I could go down some paths with that one. So sometimes people, well, they say, you know, I don't know about another way, but if it's a better way, I'll go another way. How many of you are on a journey and you'd always gone this way, but somebody told you there was a better way? Wouldn't you go the better way? Absolutely. Well, if you do that in the natural, why don't we do that in the spiritual? But when something comes along that is new spiritually, we want the old. Because we say the old is better, because you hadn't had the new. And as long as you think the old is better and the new's not, you'll be stuck in the old. I had two funerals this week. One was a distant cousin, and I ran into some other cousins there. But I was on my way to Sharpsburg Tuesday morning, and I was going to a Lime Creek Baptist Church. And I just decided on the way, you know, it's just an emotion. I grew up some Baptist and mostly Pentecostal. But I just told myself on the way, I said, you know, I'm just going to go into this sacred place. I'm going to embrace my Southern Baptist people. I'm going to embrace their tradition. I'm going to embrace them, and they're going to respect them. And I stood on the platform and sang the hymns and watched these probably 125, 30 people, Baptist, Southern Baptist people, raising their hands and worshiping the Lord. More than we do on Sunday morning Eagles Way Church. I said, ain't that something? So I thought I'd let y'all know about that. Just thought you might want to know that the Southern Baptists in Lion Creek Baptist Church worship God more than you do. Or at least they raise their hands more than you do. So don't always think you know so much more. Anyway, it has nothing to do with it. It may have everything to do with it. But I embraced that moment. And it was emotional because I went back to my history. And I have, in reclaiming our ancient paths, one thing I've done personally, I've just embraced my journey. I've embraced my life. I've embraced every facet of it. I've embraced every moment of it. Let me read this scripture, then I can go on. Jesus replied to Peter, okay, you want to know what you're going to get, Peter? You want to know what you're going to get, Peter? You're Peter too. You've given up, followed him, right? Haven't you? For I can't tell you how many thousands and thousands of dollars I've invested in the kingdom of God. Started it 40-something years ago. Write a check every week, every single week to the kingdom of God. I want to know, what am I get out of this? It's a good question. What am I going to get out of this? I didn't go in this rabbit trail. Me and Barbara decided years ago there's three things we're going to give to God. We're going to give God the first part, tenth of our income. We're going to live our life on 90% because 90% goes way further than 100% when you keep the other 10% that you're not supposed to have. Right. Going to give him our first tenth. We're going to give him the first day of the week to get realigned with ourselves and get realigned with spiritually where we need him. Give him the first day of the week. And going to give him first consideration of every decision we ever make. Now, I've done great on the tenth. That one's been 100%. 100% I've given God that first tenth. I am perfect. Perfect. We are perfect in giving God all these years, not just the 10%. We give over that every week. So superseded that one. Then the second one, giving the first day of the week. I think we've done pretty good at that. We're at least 99% on that one. Real good at that one. Third one, giving him first consideration of every decision I ever make, not so good. Ain't failed it. I'm not in the 50s and 60s. maybe the 70s, maybe 80, maybe 80. But I found out this, that when I didn't give him first consideration of every decision, I made some bad decisions. Every now and then, I just lucked out. Every now and then, I made the call, Joy, just made it, you know, and it just happened to turn out right. But other times, I made the call, and it didn't. One time, my wife said, don't invest in that property in Carabel, Florida. Don't do it. Don't do it. How many know it was God saying, don't do it? Oh, but Barbara, I've never lost any money. You can't lose money in real estate. Yeah. I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona to get sell you too, if you believe that one. So I took our life savings and invested it, whole life savings. Invested it, lost everything. On top of that, lost thousands of dollars after that. Got sued after that. Thank God that all that went away. But because I didn't give God first consideration of all things, I didn't listen to God. I tell you what, it's so important to just listen to God. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? Jesus replied, I assure you that after the renewal of all things, and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, and you've been following me, you're going to sit upon thrones too. You're going to rule and you're going to reign. And anyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times more in return in this life. And in the life to come, eternal life. I'll take that. I mean, we'll take that. I'll take 100 times. I'll take it. Won't you take it, David? I'll take 100 times. I would say I'd make a deal with God right now and said, I'll just take 10 times. Wouldn't you? It's a guaranteed, I'll just take 10 times, Lord. 10 times what I give, just give me 10 times. No, I'm going to give you 100 times. Because he gives super abundantly above. That's what his grace is. It's super abundant grace. Like I said last week, put this ball of fire in the air, calls the sun, and it gives us light and it gives us warmth, and we only have a fraction of it. We only use a fraction of it, and the rest of it just goes out into the universe for whatever reason. But he says, I'm going to make sure you have plenty of light and plenty of warmth. I'm going to make sure you have plenty of grace, plenty of mercy, plenty of love, plenty of everything that you need. Because I am in the renewing business. Say, God is in the renewing business. I sat down, I wrote some stuff down this morning. Let's see where we go with it. I wrote down, that's one thing to believe in God. I believe in God. You believe in God? Believed in God all my life. Believed in God since I was a little boy. I have believed in him. Believing in him is important. It's your first step. But what you believe about him after that is more important. What you believe in him is one thing. What you believe about him is something else. I can't remember his name, but he was one of my reading mentors, and he made this statement, what you know about God is the most important thing in your life. What you know about him, what you believe about him, is the most important thing in your life. Wow. Because what I believe about him determines my walk. You know, faith, I wrote this, faith is a journey, not a destination. It's a constant moving forward in growth and maturity. Paul said it's going from glory to glory. I'm glad of that. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad I can sing the old Baptist song, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by, and mean every minute, mean every word of it, mean every letter of it. It's supposed to get sweeter and sweeter. I've come to embrace more my journey than ever before. It means everything to me. My faith means more to me than anything. We are interfaith church. And what an interfaith, we're not a non-denominational church. We don't like that term. We used it years ago. We don't like that term because it just sounds like we're maybe against denominations, and we're not. We're not a non-denomination. We're interfaith church. We embrace everybody. That's what interfaith is. We embrace everybody. Say, we embrace everybody. My kids go to an Episcopal school. I listen to Episcopalians on podcasts now. I'm amazed. I didn't think they knew anything. I've been shocked. These Episcopal priests, my gracious me. These guys are smart. They are smart, and they are deep. Deep. And they're Episcopalians. And they're smart. And they're deep. And did I say smart? And deep. And they're spiritual. Spiritual. Been amazed. Almost maybe makes me want to be Episcopalian. I'm kidding. Everybody don't get shook up. Oh, now we're going Episcopalian. I'm just joking. Just making a point. Say he's making a point. Making a point. I say this at every funeral. I say it now. I want you to know something. I used to never say this. I said, but every single one of us here today should have regrets. Should have some regrets. Not to condemn you, not to shame you, but to say, I want to live more in the moment. And I don't want the past and the future to be stealing from my present. Because the biggest thieves there are in the world are past and future. You can't do anything about the past, it's gone. You can't do anything about the future, it's not here. You can only live in the moment. And how much wonderful stuff we miss because we don't live in the moment. We don't live, we don't soak up the moment. We don't embrace the moment. You know, I have vicariously through Will just embraced being a grandfather for the first time, knowing what that feels. And my associate and good friend Will is going through this first-time granddaddy. Now he's knowing what all I've said, the half was not told. Half was not, and he's embracing. And I'm able to embrace that too. I'm able to embrace that moment. Life is to be embraced. Life is to be enjoyed. Life is to take every second of every day and know that it's important, it's precious. Because Jesus said like this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Everything. Then he said, don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about it. Today, you got enough stuff today. Somebody asked me in the foyer, I said, what you going to do? I said, I don't know. We're going to kind of just review everything. And somebody said, we're going to have a test? I said, yep. He said, when? I said, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday. Matter of fact, every day this week, you're going to be tested whether or not you're going to listen and you're going to adhere to what we talked about. You're going to be tested. It's not a written test. It's not even an oral test. It's a life test. It's a circumstance, situation test that you're going to go through over and over and over again. And you're going to decide, how am I going to deal with this? Because I got two natures in me. I got a natural nature and I got a divine nature. Do you know that Jesus had two natures? He had a natural nature. He had a divine nature. He had an earthly mama, a heavenly father. I never have said that. That sounds weird. He had an earthly mama, a heavenly father. He was all man and all God. And he came so that we can see an example for us of how we are to be and how we are to live. And he came shaking things up. Because when he came shaking things up, he came, said, it hath been said. You've been told this, but let me tell you what this really means. You've been told that a man's not commit adultery. I say, if you look at a woman and lust after her in her heart, you've already committed adultery. Because he said, it's not outward, it's inward. Everything that's wrong comes out of a man. Everything that goes into a man goes out the way it should. Everything that comes out of a man determines what's going on. I asked my daddy one time, what does it mean to lust after a woman? Because I told the story. He said, well, if you don't circle the block. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you see a woman, you think she's real pretty, don't circle the block to look at her one more time. I thought that was kind of crazy until about a month later, I circled the block. That's what Daddy's talking about. I got another definition for you on lust in the heart. You want to hear it? This is just off the cuff. It's brand new, but it's not off the cuff. God told me. Anyway, let me tell you how you will know when you have lusted. Let me tell you. You will know. You will know. You will know. It hath been said, thou shalt not kill. But I say, if you're angry with a person, you've already killed them. How? I'll tell you how, and you know how. You've never been angry at somebody and not killed them by telling somebody else about why you're angry with that person. That never happens. From me on down to everybody all around. If you're angry with a person, you will shoot them. Not with a gun, with your tongue. You will tear them down because you want to make your point. And so if you don't be angry, you won't kill anybody. Cain didn't kill Abel and not be angry with the man. He was angry at him, so he killed him. We kill people with our words. The worst thing in the earth today is the tongue. James said, what manner of fire and destruction does this small member of the body... Boy, this is a rabbit trail, but somebody's needing this. If I talk evil about someone else with my tongue, I have killed them. I have killed their reputation. Anybody ever told you something about somebody when you saw that person, that's what you thought about? You looked at them and you judged them, had a thought about them based on what somebody else said, and you have never known the person. Never known them. Had a lady come here years ago on a Sunday night service. She just had to come listen to me preach because she said, and after the service, she said, everything I was told about you is not true. I said, well, probably not everything, but I appreciate it. She said, that's nothing what I thought. But she had made an opinion about me based on what everybody else or other people in the community had said to her, and she didn't even know me. I had two natures in me. Which one am I going to go to? Which one am I going to listen to? I'm going to listen to the flesh. I'm going to listen to the spirit. Because both of them's there. The natural nature is not done away with when Christ comes in. Christ comes in to overcome that nature. To live by the spirit, not by the flesh. Bible says there's no condemnation now to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What the flesh could not do, and it was weak through the law, God sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be lived out. And he who minds the things of the Spirit will do the things of the Spirit. Who minds the things of the flesh will do the things of the flesh. What you think about will come about. It'll happen. And so I'm reading this book called The Rock, The Road, and the Rabbi. And The Rock, The Road, and the Rabbi is about a person who went to Jerusalem and spent a lengthy period of time with a Christian rabbi, a Jewish rabbi who believed in Jesus, the Son of God. And they took them on this spiritual, it's a great book, by the way, get it. It's a great book that just takes stories that Jesus went through and how potent and how powerful, and bringing the Jewish ancient path up through it to see what it was really all about. And there's this story in it. It's a story in the Bible. And a man that was born blind had never seen before in his life. He's born blind. No cure for that. He comes to Jesus. Jesus reaches down and takes up some dirt, spits in it, takes his saliva, makes mud. I can see this happening on Sunday morning. Somebody coming down to be prayed for, and there's some dirt over here, and I spit in it, take my saliva, make mud, and put it in his eyes. I grew up Pentecostal, and so I've heard all kind of stories about that. Everything from "you don't only know" to way over here. Why did he do that? Wouldn't you like to know why Jesus spit and made mud and put it in a guy's eye and says, "Go wash now in the pool of Siloam and you will be healed"? There's a Jewish tradition that if to know that you were the firstborn, to know for sure, because the firstborn got all the inheritance, to know that you were the firstborn, there was a saying that in even back then, they didn't call it DNA, but that's what it was. In their saliva, there was healing. And that there was actually traditional things in the Jewish nation that they would actually take the saliva from that firstborn and apply it to someone who needed healing. And if they were healed, it verified they were the firstborn. Well, how many know that Jesus took his DNA, his divineness, put it in a guy's eye? He goes, wash in the pool of Siloam to prove that he's the firstborn son of the living God and that he has all the inheritance. And that this guy who has a natural nature, and naturally that eyes can't see, but with the DNA of Jesus, it can be caused to see. Because we have two natures in us. We have we have a DNA from God Almighty in us that you can't be tested by needles and saliva. You can test your natural DNA with that. You can't test your spiritual DNA with it. How do I know then that the spiritual DNA is there? I'm glad you ask. You know that DNA is there is because you're able to overcome circumstances and situations that in the natural you used to not be able to do, but now I can do because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. And I don't have to succumb to temptation. I don't have to succumb to anger. I don't have to succumb to resentment. I don't have to succumb to grudges. I can yield myself to the Spirit of the living God. I can go out with forgiveness about it and overcome it with my spiritual DNA called the divine nature of God that's in me. Wow, that was worth coming for. You have it. I have it. We have it. We have it. It's in you. It's in you. There's a book years ago, Billy, we used to read years ago called Practicing the Presence of God. Remember that book, Practicing His Presence? We need to get back to that. Practicing His presence. Practicing His presence. I just have to pause and remember who I am. I just have to pause and I'm a spiritual being on a human journey. And the spiritual being is supposed to constantly be overcoming that nature so that God's nature can be seen in me, so that faith and hope and love. Kitty, you can come to the piano. And I gave you this the first of the year. Kainos, Greek word for renewing. Hope is a confident expectation that goodness is coming. Wow. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 6, hope is the anchor of the soul. Hope is what steadies your life when it's unsteady. Hope is what anchors you to the truth when it wants to take you away from the truth. Hope is an expectation that good is coming. It's unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right into the presence of God. Faith, hope, and love are mighty forces meant to carry your life forward, upward. They're your wings. All hopes are not created equal. When our hopes are in their proper places, attached to the right things, we flourish in this life and are rescued from 1,000 heartbreaks. Just like when God is our first love, we're not destroyed when others fail to love us well. We weather our storms so much better. Casual hope. I hope it doesn't rain. Hope I get tickets to the game. Hope the flight's on time. Anybody ever done that? Sat in the airport? I hope I don't get bumped. You will. Casual hope. Precious hopes. I hope this pregnancy goes well. I hope the CT scan turns out okay. I hope she doesn't leave me for somebody else. That can be a more devastating hope. That hope can hurt deeper. But there's an ultimate hope. It's the only thing that belongs in this category, the things that can destroy your heart and your soul. It's, I hope God will forgive me. I hope these mistakes can be turned around, and they can. Your ultimate hope is this can't be destroyed. Nothing can destroy this. I may hope it not rain and it rain. I may hope they don't leave me. They still may leave me. They hurt and they're devastating, but this hope right here will kill you. This hope, this ultimate hope is the hope that we've got to cling to with every fiber of our being. We can never let that hope leave us. And when God instilled this hope in me years ago of restoration and renewal, when he instilled in me there's a hope, I have let that hope, I'm clinging to that hope, I won't let go of that hope. I don't care how much this hope is battered. I don't care how much this hope is criticized. I don't care how much comes against this hope. I'm not going to let go of the hope that I serve a God who is way above anything and everybody and every circumstance and every situation on this planet. That he is still in control over everything. He is not giving it up. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and he is establish it upon the floods, and the glory of the Lord will cover the land as the waters cover the sea. And God is God, and there's no one like him, and he's got everything under control. And this world's not a sinking ship that's dying and going to hell. It's a ship that's flowing well, and it's going to sail this journey, and it's going to reach the place that it's called to reach, because God is in control. That's the blessed hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. And it's going to come. It's going to come against. It's going to come against you. It's going to try to sway you. That's the reason Paul said, I don't want you tossed about by every wind of doctrine. I want you to grow up in Christ. Grow up. Grow up. I grow up. And I grow up by the word of God, and by the Spirit of God. And I'm sensitive to what is going on in here. Because he will lead me and guide me into all truth. And you know why I trust the Holy Spirit so much? It's because he leads me into all truth. And when I'm on a path that maybe I need to take a detour, he'll lead me, Billy. If I'm on the wrong path, he'll lead me to the right path. He's never failed to do that. If I'm not sure here, he'll make me sure here. If your kid's going the wrong way, how many of you are going to stop them and put them on the right path? Huh? Aren't you? That's the God that we serve. If you're on the wrong path, he'll put you on the right path. If you're on a good path, he'll put you on a better path. If you're on an okay path, he'll put you on a not great okay path. He always wants better. He always wants better. And it's not a day that, hardly have some, but that's one of my prayers to God always through the Holy Spirit. God, don't let me go down the wrong path. And if I'm on the wrong path, show me and get me off that path. And he's done that with me all my life. And he's never failed. Preached the message and got home, and the Holy Spirit said, that's not what I said. And go back and correct it. I don't tell everybody the next week. I just tell them something different. I said something one time, and God just jumped all over me when I got home and said, I didn't say it like that. How many know the Holy Spirit can even show you how to say things right? That's why I hate texting. I give you thumbs up most of the time. That's about it. Or okay. Because I don't like going into, some people ask me a theological question on text. You have got, sometimes I want to write back, you have got to be kidding. Because you don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how you're saying that. I don't know how you're saying that. I want to hear your heart. My wife tells me once, twice, every week, talk from your heart. Talk from your heart. It goes from the comes from the heart, goes to the heart. Talk from your heart. Talk from your heart. She reminds me that over and over and over and over again. Talk from your heart. Talk from your heart. Talk from your heart. You can trust God to keep you centered. God. I mean, I want a centered life. I mean, I want a balanced life. I'm glad that God can keep me balanced. Because I've gotten out of balance before. I have. But he always brings me back into balance. He's a good God. Good Father. He's a good, good Father, what they sang last week. He's a good, good Father. If Jet's going down a path and there's a rattlesnake on it, who's going to be the... I will do anything and everything to get that boy off that path. I'd fall on that snake to keep him from that path. I'm human, will do that. What will the God of all spirits do to keep you? But you've got to put yourself in the place where you let him do that. Let him take you down the right path. And let him, if need be, get you off the wrong path. And aren't you glad he do that? I thank God as much for getting me off the wrong path as I do for keeping me on the right path. Because that's how wonderful he is. Sometimes I'll a lot of things in our lives can just get confusing, get us going the wrong way. But if you put yourself in a place to hear the Holy Spirit, hear the inner voice, he's there. As I did Tommy's, did my cousin's funeral, and then I get home and we're sitting on the deck, Barbara and I, and get a phone call. And Barbara's sister, she just came home and found her husband lying in the yard dead. What do you do with that? How do you thank God for hope? Thank God for grace. And Tommy, all through the years, always pray for me, pray for me. And I say, Tommy, you can pray too. He says, no, man, you got a direct line to heaven. I say, Tommy, I appreciate your confidence, but your line to heaven is just as direct as my line to heaven. Just as direct. And sometimes I think it's more direct. Because the Bible says, he that's been given much, much is required. Yeah, sometimes I got to pray with more faith than a little kid prays with faith. I know better. I know more. It's true. God is just this kind of God. Stand. He takes you. Stand. He takes you. He takes you on the path that you are on. And he guides you in that path. Everybody's not on the same spiritual path. You know that, don't you? Everybody's not there. Everybody's got their path. And that's why God is so good. The Bible says, John wrote, and he said, I want to write unto you, little children. Because the only thing you really know is your sins are forgiven. That's your path. That's what you're on. Thank God you know that. But I'm just going to keep reminding you, you're okay. That's what you do to your children, right? You're okay. You're okay. He said, I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. You've learned how to take the word of God, fight, cut down those thoughts. He said, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. You see the whole picture. Three different paths, but yet the same path. It's just where you are. And that's what how you should relate to everybody. Get on their path with them. I'm in this foyer with this Southern Baptist minister, and if he asked me what I believe, I would have blown him out of the water. I got on his path and enjoyed the Southern Baptist path. I love the Southern Baptist path. I love it. Instead of going in there with some whatever, but going there embracing, I came out with a spiritual renewal. Yeah. Man, we sung How Great Thou Art. Wow. Song leader got up there with that big old hymnal and flopped it open to a hymn. We sung this glorious hymn. And I was just worshiping God. It was awesome. I got on that path. They're all good paths. He's a good, good God. Okay, a couple instructions. Yield to the divine nature that's in you this week. The flesh will raise its ugly head. Anger will raise its ugly head. Criticism will raise its ugly head. Don't believe everything you hear, especially if it's wrong and bad. Don't believe it. Somebody says something to you about somebody else, don't believe it. Do not believe it. Well, what if it's true? Come on, ha-ha. Hee-haw. Remember hee-haw? What we say is true. It's not just rumors, it's true. Because it's true doesn't make it right. Right? Okay? Well, hope you got something out of this shotgun message. It's what my daddy used to call him. You just get up and load the shotgun and shoot the pellets and let them land where they land. And so I know it's been scattered, but I know I've heard God. I know I heard God. So, you know what? I'm going to go eat some chicken and enjoy every moment of it with you, because I know I heard from God and we've heard from God. Amen? Well, we got communion. Let's, elders, come down. perfect illustration, okay, perfect illustration of how to let the divine nature override the human nature. In the night, he was betrayed. In the night that Judas goes and tells his enemies all about him, in the night that he knows he's going to have to go be scourged, crucified, spat on, spit on, crown of thorns on his head, slapped, beaten, ridiculed, mocked, in that night, his divine nature kicked in. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." As a matter of fact, the old King James Version says, "In the same night." So you get it. In the same night, he took the cup. He says, "This is my new covenant for forgiveness of sins." So what he said by doing that, "I forgive everybody, and you too, Judas. I forgive you for betraying me tonight."
Amen. God's a good God, isn't he? All the time. If you've got your connection card, it was in your bulletin. Make sure that you have filled that out. Communicate with us. This is the way that you sign up for different things, like Rushton Hope coming up the end of this month. The chicken is ready, or just about. It's about 11:20. We will for sure try to be serving by noon. So if you need to run to the house and grab something or change clothes, you're welcome to do that. Everybody say City Park. We're at the City Park. We are not out at the Pavilion. We do different locations at different times. But you want to do that. Your connection card, along with your offering, goes in the box that is at the back of the sanctuary. There's one at each door. So as you're leaving, you just take your connection card and you drop that in, or you take your offering. I know a lot of you give online. But we want to pray and we want to bless our offering this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this beautiful, gorgeous day that you gave us, that we can fellowship, we can share a meal together. Lord, we ask you to bless that meal and all of the hands that have prepared it. We ask, Father, Lord, that you take these tithes, these offerings, these alms, Father, Lord, that you'll bless them for the furtherment of your kingdom, that people's lives will be touched, people's eyes will be opened to who you are, that they will receive you, Father, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I meant to say this when I was up here at the cookout. We always have donations, and usually our donations goes to missions, but this donation is going to Mary Ringer and her family to help with circumstances and situations that are deep in her life. Mary has been the longest standing member here in this church. If you've ever been out more than 2 or 3 weeks, you may have gotten a phone call from her. She's my hound from heaven that goes out and finds you. But she's a sweet, sweet, sweet lady, and I've just tried to give her peace over the last couple of weeks. Don't worry about the future and what holds. You'll be taken care of. So all of that will go toward that. And whatever you can do to help, God bless you.